In your Bibles, the book of 1 John. And I have forgotten what that sign said that I was going to tell. Dadgummit. I don't know. It was a good one. It was really odd. If I remember it, I'll share it. If you would, turn into 1 John chapter 5. And I'm just going to read verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I'm going to start off with a quote from another fella. It's a good statement, so I stole it. It starts like this. It's just one sentence this time. The well-nigh universal tendency now is to magnify man and dishonor and degrade God. That's truth. It ain't no different than it's ever been. It's exactly the same. Arthur Pink wrote that. Well, I got something in my head and I started looking at the sovereignty of God the other day. Because there's a section in there called the sovereignty of God in prayer. Because I have a lot of problems with prayer as it is right now. Universally degrading God, for the most part. And it's something I don't, well, you know, to be honest, I don't feel real comfortable with because I'm not good at praying. But I wanted to do a little studying on it, and I remembered this, and I started looking at it, and it's pretty good. Actually, it's a pretty good book. And the sovereignty of God in prayer is also a pretty good part of that book. But anyhow, this is the way of the world around us, to magnify man and to dishonor or degrade God. Bless his heart. They'll do it while they're praising God, supposedly. You know, God wants to save everybody, but you just won't let him. Bless his heart. That's what I'm waiting for. The religious world lifts up man, man's thoughts, and man's deeds to have eternal consequences. Now, this is true. There are eternal consequences if it is limited to man's capability of sin and self-deception and depravity. There are eternal consequences for that. But as far as good things go, man's not good at them. Man's capacity for evil thoughts and evil deeds are well documented in the scriptures. Man's abundant capacity for good thoughts and good deeds and self-realization is not found in the scripture anywhere. The world, however, has the idea that human destinies may be changed and molded by the will of man. It is summed up in this statement, which was printed, I read it in his book. The book was printed in 1938. It was printed in a religious publication, and Pink used it as part of his reference. The quote is this: "This is at the heart of the truth that prayer changes things." Meaning that God changes things when men pray. That statement is a lie.
Yes, a lie. That's right.
It's a bald-faced lie.
Absolutely.
At best, you can call it wishful thinking. But what it is a lie. But that's what you'll hear. That's what is taught in innumerable churches and on radio and on TV. They believe that human destinies, and this was a quote from that article, human destinies may be changed and molded by the will of man. That's a lie, mainly by definition of Webster's Dictionary. By definition, your destiny can't change because your destiny is where you end up. However you get there is a whole other matter, but your destiny is where you end up. You're going to end up wherever you end up. That's going to be your destiny. That's basic logic. Even if you go from being the worst reprobate in the world to one of the greatest apostles ever saw, even if you help hold the coats of people who were stoning some guy named Stephen, and then you go to a fellow who wrote most of the New Testament, Paul's destiny never changed. He was destined to be the apostle to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Because that's where he ended up.
Yeah.
That's the definition of destiny. It has nothing to do with how you get there. It has to do with where you get. So destiny will never change. But anyway, bad English aside, human destiny is not settled by the will of man, but by the will of God.
Amen.
That which determines human destiny is whether or not a man has been born again. It's written down somewhere. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And as to those who will, whether God or man is responsible for the new birth, is settled. Is God. By John 1:13, it says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
Now, we are told a lot of things that God does. Most people ignore them. And that's God's honest truth. Most people ignore them. Especially the first one starts off in this reference. One of the things God does, God kills. God makes alive. God brings down. God lifts up. God makes poor. God makes rich. God raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to
make them.
I mean, God does stuff without you asking him to? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Only if he wants it done. And to make them inherit the throne of glory. That's 1 Samuel 2, verses 6 through 8. Walter, I got to think, I've never read a scripture where there's any qualification for anything the Lord said to do. Or he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or I never read a qualification that he would do something only if somebody prayed for it. Ever. Prayer does not change the purpose of God.
Right.
That's what that article said. That they could change the purpose of God. Prayer does not change the purpose of God, period. Ever, period. This is because God never changes. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ's purpose has never changed. 2 Timothy says this, chapter 1 and verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace that he gave us when we prayed," "which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That goes for all believers, even the ones that haven't believed yet. Even the ones that don't know God right at this moment. If they're going to know God, if that's their destiny, if you want to use that word.
Sure.
It's because of his purpose and his grace that was given to them before the foundation of the world. People have a real problem dealing with the future. Walter, what you said on Ezekiel made perfect sense. Where you're talking about the dry bones and coming together, and all this happens at once. People hate that. I mean, it's almost as if God's going to make them inherit the throne of glory. Yeah, he is. He's going to do it. He's already said he was going to do it. But that's going to happen. But see, that's in the future. And you don't like to talk about the future because saying something in the future has already been ordained in the past, because that sounds like, well, it sounds like destiny. God's purpose in saving his chosen people and in calling his chosen people and in keeping his chosen people and in choosing his chosen people is eternal. Prayer doesn't change any of that. Our prayers are to be praise to the praise and glory of his grace and his purpose. This is what makes these very same people who believe that prayer changes things, those people, very upset with us who believe in predestination, which is scriptural. The very heart of the prayer changes things movement is this fact, this one fact. We will not have this man to reign over us. That's it. Either Jesus Christ is God or he's not.
Amen. That's right.
It is that simple. When you boil it down, these people don't believe Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and that his eternal purpose shall stand. And he knoweth them that are his. They won't have this man to reign over him. And the key word there is reign. If prayer can change man's destiny, then the truth of predestination of the people of God can be ignored. And that's what they want. They can ignore it. Because those who believe that prayer changes things hate the predestinating God of the scripture, which is shown in Romans 8. And we know, believers know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, Then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. And you will not hear an exposition on that scripture anywhere in an Arminian Baptist church. And as far as the Pentecostals are concerned, that doesn't exist. Ephesians 1 and 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1 and 11, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Just as destiny, by definition, cannot be changed, predestination by God before the world began, by definition, cannot be changed. It either means what it says or it doesn't. That's it. However, and I've been there, predestination can be and is denied and twisted, corrupted, and wrested by people to their own destruction. Especially by those who do believe that prayer changes things. It doesn't matter what anyone says. Man's prayers do not shape God's policy or God's purpose, or God's actions, or God's will. Now, there's a lot of stuff on what prayer's not. So here's something about what prayer is to do. Believers are told ways, well, there's one more thing, I forgot. Believers are told ways not to pray. Don't pray like the hypocrites. How do they pray? Loud and in public. To be seen of men. They got their reward. And is gone. We are not to use repetitious prayers because the heathen use repetitious prayers. And think they're heard because of their much speaking. Now, believers are told to pray without ceasing. But we were also told to pray in secret. A lot of people seem to have forgotten that part. We are told to pray and faint not. Now, what is prayer to do? Or what is prayer about? I got six or seven little things here. Number one, prayer is to God. Remember to whom you are speaking. I think it's nice just to be a little respectful to him. Okay, yeah, I know I'm not known for having a lot of respect for a lot of people. I've known that by what I said this morning. But prayer is to God. Believers are praying not only to the creator of the whole universe and everything in it. Believers are praying to the one who loved us and chose us and called us to be his saints in Christ before the world ever was made. You're praying to God because God is worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christ is worthy. The Spirit is worthy. I wouldn't be here without God. I was happy going my own way. I wasn't even praying. I wasn't. Didn't know who to pray to. Somebody changed that when they changed me. Number two, prayer is to honor God himself. Because God is the one with no beginning and no end. He is complete in himself. He is in control, and that's why we pray to him. It is the holiness, the righteousness, the power, the grace, the mercy, and the goodness of God, Christ, and the Spirit that are to be honored by the believer. Because God is power. God is righteous. God is grace. God is mercy. God is love. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. God doesn't need us to worship him. But prayer is to worship God. And we are to worship God. Salvation is of the Lord. And prayer is to put yourself on your knees before God because you want to. Because you want to worship him. Because he is worthy of honor. He is worthy of prayer. But prayer is to be worship, not instructions for what God is supposed to do. Too many people pray and give orders at the same time. That's not worship. God, you need to do this and pray that, you know, I don't want to get started on that. Prayer is to worship Christ because we love him. Because he first loved us. He is worthy of worship because he alone saved us, called us, chose us, and gave us eternal life. And one day he's coming back again. He alone saved us and called us and predestinated us and glorified us. Number four, prayer is to glorify God. Prayer is to declare our God-given knowledge that God is in control. And as such, all glory and honor and praise do go to him.
Amen.
Where is boasting? There isn't any. Not for me, but now I can boast to God. The only reason I'm standing here believing this, much less speaking it, is because of him. To him be the glory. See, people, I don't know, I guess it's the blessed doctrine of fairness, Walter. People get wrapped up in this that things are supposed to be fair. Okay. If God was fair, we'd all be in hell right now.
Amen, that's right.
Every single one of us.
Yeah.
And the earth could be a nice park where zebras and giraffes play. But God's not fair. God is the God of all grace. God is love. God is merciful. And we are to glorify him as that. Give God the glory and honor. Because to God only belongs the glory and honor and praise. Number five, this is one that the world leaves out totally. Prayer is to humble ourselves. We are to know that we are dependent upon him.
Amen.
Totally. Not only for salvation, but for the life that we now live is in Christ.
Yeah.
To truly pray to God is to acknowledge that everything comes from him. By him and through him. And it comes to his people who were without strength and without the will to come to him. Believers know that they owe everything to Jesus Christ. Unbelievers also owe everything to Christ, but they don't know it. They keep praying because they think God owes them something. True prayer can only come from a true believer who knows how unworthy and unable they really are. Prayer is humbling. Prayer is to speak to your Creator. Now, God is the one who made everything. Because there wasn't anything made that was made without Him.
Amen.
God is the one who keeps everything going. And God is the one that will end this creation when He's good and ready. He's going to melt this earth with a fervent heat. And He's the one that's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Amen.
And the reason He's going to do it, because if He didn't do it, it wouldn't get done.
Sure.
Because we are not going to remake this earth into a new Garden of Eden. I mean, we might try. Some people actually might sincerely try. And God bless them, as far as I'm concerned. Bless their heart. But there's nothing been made that man can't break.
That's right.
So far that I've seen. Other than God.
Yeah.
And He's trying that. We, in prayer, speak to the one who makes everything. Who made us. That's humbling too, actually. Number 7, the last one I'm going to give you. Prayer is to set aside our will, and bow to His will.
Amen.
The end of every prayer, and sometimes the beginning and the middle, actually. As far as I'm concerned, that's the best prayer I know. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Because I think Mason said it once, you know, if I was God, I'd save my friends and kill my enemies. God saved His enemies.
Yeah, He did. Yes, He did.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, none of us would have been here. Prayer should affirm the belief of every child of God that God's will is supreme.
Yeah.
And we like it that way. I don't trust my will. See, that's the part I have, one of the problems I have with the people who do a lot of this prayer changes thing stuff is they seem to be real fond of their will. I don't trust my will.
Amen.
It's really good at picking the wrong thing to do at the wrong time, almost perfectly every time.
That's right.
But at doing good things, I'm not so good. So people who trust their judgment too much worry me. And I sure don't trust their judgment if I'm worried about mine. Because I sometimes think they don't have my best interest at heart. Now, there are some who will throw that statement in at the end.
Right.
But you can kind of tell they're not happy about it. The believer knows that the will of God is supremely better than the will of man. Believers can ask of their Father because He is their Father.
Amen. Yeah.
Abba, Father. They can ask because He is their Father.
Mm-hmm.
However, believers also know that sometimes the answer is no.
That's right.
Because our will is suspect at best.
At best, yeah.
At best it's suspect. And see, these fellows have complete confidence in their will and their prayers. You got to have complete confidence, because you don't have faith, you ain't going to get nothing. Well, I don't know what you've been reading, but I read, if God gives you something, you're going to have it, no matter what you do. He will make you inherit the throne of glory, Mason, if he wants to. Yes, he will. And if I got faith, it's because he gave it to me. Anyway, believers know that the good father will only do that which is best for his children. And sometimes the father will say no to the child because the father should say no to the child. But believers know that the God of all grace is always right.
Yeah,
Paul prayed 3 times for some thorn in the flesh to be taken out from him, whatever it was. God said no all 3 times. What'd Paul do? Well, he prayed for it 3 times. The first time no didn't take. The second time no didn't take. The third time no, it took. I think I'll have to find something else to pray about now. Whether the answer is yes or no, the answer from God is always the right answer. And like I said when I started this, I'm not the world's best at praying. I'm really not. I feel lacking in a lot of ways, but in that way especially. But I have something to take heart in. Your praying, my praying, is not dependent upon me or you, if you know Christ. Because believers are told one special thing here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's a good definition of my prayers. Infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, even though I want to. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Amen.
That's what I want from prayer. I believe God. I believe Christ. I believe the Holy Spirit. I wish I could pray as I ought. But thank God for the Spirit itself, Himself, making intercession for us. Now, see, that's a part of my destiny that I don't want changed. That's a promise from God. That's what I need. This will not change because it is a promise from God. To all that believe His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's the kind of prayers I like. And that's the kind I don't see. And see, now the funny thing is that I'm done with this. I have to pray. And I already told you people, I'm not very good at it. But I'll do it anyway. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be thankful for Your work, for Your will, and Your way. Help us to worship You in spirit and in truth. And thank You for the Holy Spirit who does make intercession for us. Because we need intercession. We'll give you the praise and honor and glory as much as we can, because it is yours. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.